and R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Right of the net, fired wide, looking for a tip. High slot now, Krug, right circle, Marchand shoots, deflected. Rick Nash taken down out in front, rebound, they score! Rick Nash tied up a maze of bodies out in front. Patrice Bergeron able to pick his spot, and he ripped it home!
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson, that was supposed to be in studio covering the Bruins, is not here.
He even tweeted that he was going to be in this morning.
Yeah, well.
7 a.m.
What a work ethic.
So if anybody knows Ty,
well,
that tweet was 9 hours ago.
You know, it's the work ethic that gets you.
Hey, you made it. Good. Okay, hey. Good. I was about to say.
The 8th annual Hoosier Candy Classic is happening Monday, July 16th at 1 p.m. at Atkinson Resort and Country Club, just across the border in Atkinson, New Hampshire.
You come in, Ty. You
come in. This is your scheduled time.
I'm doing a read.
Understood.
Not you, Wallach. Wallach can take it easy. Starting Monday morning at 9, reserve your spot at 98.5thesportshub.com. It's $150 per player, all to benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. Join Tony Maz, Rich Shirtlieb, Hardy, and the rest of the sports crew for a day of golf at the Who's Your Daddy Classic. Very quickly, I'd be remorse not to take this. Hello? Hello?
Hello, who's this? If you can hear us right now on your phone, we're talking to you. Because it says your name is Rock and Roll Under the Bridge. Hello?
Rock and Roll Mike?
Okay.
That's too bad.
All right.
Well, sometimes you gotta worry about Rock and Roll Mike. All right, Ty Anderson, he writes about the Bruins for over here at the 98.5thesportshub.com.
It's always fun to write about a beating like that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. That's like, one of the worst. Like, what can you say about that? There's no way to spin that and be like, oh, that was great. I feel great about game four.
I can. Is that Tuukka played very well. There was a egregious mistake by Grizzlick that got them down 1-0. They continue to kick people out of the face-off circle. So Krejci gets kicked out of the face-off circle. They lose the face-off. And then it's 2-0. And then Tampa Bay kind of gets into a shell. And see, I much prefer losing in that fashion than I would at, like, you know, a 5-4 game or something like that. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I just think that, I mean, a loss is a loss this time of year, I know, but they haven't won a period in the series, it feels like. It feels like they are just getting beat to every single loose puck. And I thought last night desperation would kick in, similar to what Tampa Bay did in Game 2. I thought, okay, you're back home. You can control the matchups. Here you go. And it was just like, it was one of the worst showings I think I've seen out of this team. And it's just like, you wouldn't believe these guys played together more than 10 minutes last night. Like, they looked like they were... Everyone's learning how each other plays, and I was like, "This shouldn't be happening right now." So,
well, let's talk about that third line. And afterwards, Bruce Cassidy was talking about how there's some guys who have not dressed that he might be considering. How are they going to switch things up? In your opinion, what change are they going
to
make?
It's going to be Ryan Donato. It has to be. I mean, if it's Brian Gionta or if it's Tommy Wingles, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, Wingles made a big difference last night coming in there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and Cassie's, he's pushed all the right buttons all season long. We'd all agree. But I think that last night, you know, he goes, oh, I'm taking Schaller out and putting Wingles in. And it's like, okay, so? Like, that's not what the issue is right now. You need more scoring. That wasn't going to help any of the scoring issues. So it's Donato time. It's now or never, in my opinion, because you can't put him in Game 5 if you lose Game 4. That's too much pressure. And then mm-hmm. the pressure gets worse in Game 6 or 7. So this is the time to put him in. So I would expect that. I think it's a simple switch. I think you take Heinen out and you put Donato in. It seems like it's the best way to do it without changing everything you want to do. But you can make a case for any of those three guys to be scratched right now, including David Backes, which I would
God,
not
he
think.
Looks so slow. I keep saying slow. That, but I mean, like,
third
this series
terrible.
Even more than the first one. I thought it was the speed from the Maple Leafs that just made him look slow. My God, is he slow.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was looking at, I was like, oh, it's just the Leafs. Now I'm seeing this. I'm like, how is this getting worse? This shouldn't be happening.
Well, the good
right
news
now.
Is they're out of that contract in 5 years. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, so am I the only one that gets nervous when the opposing team comes over the blue line? I mean, with Rask, you know, we're saying, oh, you know, if he plays well, he makes $7 million a year. Like, I have no sense of security between the poles.
Wait, what was your problem with Rask last night?
I just feel like other goalies are making saves that he's not. You know, whether they're hard saves to make or they're easy ones.
Rask stood on his head last night. Rask made a save last night that makes the Anderson save in the Toronto series where he flailed around with his stick look like amateur hour. I mean, Rask had two eyes in the back of his head.
Two of them, one with the stick and then one where he kind of went behind his back and shoveled it out of there.
I'm talking about the behind-the-back thing. Rask was definitely not the issue last night.
Did you have a problem with Tuukka Rask?
No, he's been the best player in the series for them. I think that he is the number one star of the series for the Bruins. Not even close. Yeah, the Bergeron line, they've had their moments, but I think Tuukka has been solid night in, night out. He's given you a chance. Last night, should have been 4-1 after the first period, and he keeps you in it. And you know, you want some more, I guess, but at the same time, I can't sit there and be like, oh, he's not delivering. I think the first round you had these complaints. Now you should be comfortable with where he's at.
We talked about it last hour. Is there any shame in the Bruins coming up short to this team in this series? I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if the Bruins should lose this series to Tampa Bay, is there a problem with it? It would have been a problem if the Bruins had lost to Toronto, but what about this team?
You know, I think that it has to go 6 or 7. I think if they lose in 5, that's disappointment because you started off the series with a win. To lose 4 in a row, it's almost unheard of, I think, really. So, listen, Tampa Bay, they're one of the best teams in the conference, right? I think the Bruins and the Lightning are 1-2, to be honest with you. So I do think that this would be disappointing, but it wouldn't erase everything they did this season. I think, like we talked about, that first round would have done that. This round would not do that. So but it's one of those things where I think this is a winnable series because I don't think Vasilevsky's playing that well.
He's not. Rask is outplaying him, and that's why, listen, obviously Friday is a must-win. But the idea that Rask is playing this well, and some of these things are correctable. Like you said, if you put Donato in and maybe you get a little spark there, if you win game 4, then the whole conversation changes. If Rask plays well in game 4 and you manage to win that game, then everything changes. I'm not overly concerned right now. I was against Toronto. And Toronto seemed to be exploiting them a lot. I understand that the Bruins haven't played well in this series and that they were listless last night. And in fact, that the second and third period last night were almost unwatchable.
The beginning of the second period, you thought something was going to happen.
They came out, but then it got exceptionally boring.
Yeah.
As playoff hockey games go, the second and third period last night were real boring.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, it was tedious. And so I think I turned it off with 6 minutes left. I just this is boring. I mean, and the Bruins aren't going to come back and win this thing. But I feel that they're capable of winning the series still.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it all starts with game 4. I think that the even number of the even games are always way more important than the odd ones. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, game two, winning game 4 versus losing it is such a dramatic difference if you're the Boston Bruins. And I think for any team trying to get back in a series, that game 4 swings it in a gigantic way. So this is a must win. I think it's an obvious statement, I know. But last night was slow death. You're looking at it last night and you're like, all right, well, there's 15 minutes left in the third period. They've pulled up some comebacks. Next thing you know, there's 7 minutes. There's 5 minutes. Like, all right, just go home. I don't want to look at this anymore. This is awful.
No. Yeah, all right. We got to Ty Anderson in studio, 617-779-0985.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Center ice. McDonough waiting for it. Yanni Gord down the right wing. Across the blue line, right circle. Gord in front. Sorelli. Oh. Shoot, save made. Score! On the rebound! Sorelli! Rask made the first save, but what did you talk about, Phil? Rebounds, rebounds, rebounds. And Sorelli put in his own rebound. It's 3-1 Lightning.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson in studio with us. He covers the Bruins for 98.5thesportshub.com. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, this one's for Ty Anderson. I don't know what you're talking about, that Tuukka Rask is playing lights out. He cost us game 2. He could not stop a beach ball if that thing was shot on him. He jumped out of the way of a goal during game 2 as if a grenade came at him. What game are you watching saying that he's standing on his head and playing lights out?
Well, he let in a bad goal. And then, but if you compound that with all the the saves that he made that easily could have gotten things out of hand, it evens itself out.
The Boston Bruins will never win a Stanley Cup with Tuukka Rask in net because he cannot make a big save. When the team needs him, when the team is playing lights out, he can't play to that occasion.
Did you watch last night's game?
I did, and it was the biggest disappointment. It was probably one of the worst games the Bruins ever played.
Okay, so you look at last night's game. He makes the save on the redirect. I think it was Nikita Kucherov redirect in the second period to keep you down by two. And then you look later in the game, there's a Kucherov breakaway. He makes a save there as well. You look back at game two, the game that he allegedly cost them. The Bruins didn't have a shot on goal until 15 minutes into the first period. They didn't show up until it was almost too late. So I look at this series, and I'm saying, no, he's giving you a chance to win. He is absolutely giving you a chance to win. You want to point some blame, you need to look at their defense. Look at last night.
Mm-hmm.
About 30 shots, it felt like, came from between the circles, 5 feet in front of Rask. This defensive structure has gone out the window in this series. For whatever reason, you know, last night, that Cirelli goal that you just played coming back, horrible defensive coverage. You can point to the rebound and say, yeah, you want to control that rebound, sure. But somebody needs to clear somebody out of the way there. It's just inexcusable breakdowns this time of year.
They also can't get out of their own end. Like, that's the other thing. Is like, how many turnovers did you see? How many times were they stifled? I mean, it was a situation where you just expected them to get smothered and for them to steal the puck from them any time that they were behind the net.
And also, when you get down two goals early, that's a lot easier to happen.
And that sucks. But how do you fix that? I mean, it was a situation where they had a horrible time getting out of their own
end. Don't get down by two goals. Dan, go ahead.
So I don't blame Rask. I have two possible reasons, and you guys can fill me in. One, in game two, like you said, they didn't show up. They got out-physicaled. At one point, Achari got tossed by Hedman. But I also point to the refs. Like, game two, you got Krug going to a slash for hitting somebody on the pads. Marchand not getting a slashing penalty on the 3-2 breakaway. And Hedman getting a double minor for hitting himself with his own stick. And last night they missed calls as well. So I don't know if it's like they know our playbook. At one point you had the drop pass during game seven to Nash, you know, to get one by the Leafs. They tried that one last night and, you know, the Lightning were like, yeah, I've seen this come in and just turn the puck over. So I don't know if they know our playbook. I don't know if they're out physicaling us, but, you know, the refs definitely need to straighten out these calls. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's really like, It's pushing the series their way, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I look at last night, and I don't have as much of a gripe, but I'm looking at game. I mean, game two was a disaster in that regard. But you got to fight through this, right? I mean, this mm-hmm. team is still this Bruins team is still they're way too good to be just doomed by just bad officiating. And listen, I agreed. I thought that game two performance was terrible, and game three, you know. Slashes are called differently, I suppose. It's just you need consistency, but if you're not going to get it, this team is good enough to fight through it. I mean, I wouldn't be comfortable if I was a Bruins fan losing this series and saying, well, it's all the refs. I mean, it's Marchand's been here before.
Yeah.
You know, Bergeron, they've been here before. They should know what bad officiating looks like and how to get around it.
See, Atai, Fred and I on one thing are positive and negative. Believe it or not, Fred's being the positive one on this. But the fact that the Tampa Bay first line hasn't done anything. I mean, they've been quiet, except for, of course, the Stamkos open net goal. I thought is a scary thought. Like, the fact that they have yet to score, and Fred thinks it's actually a positive that they've been able to be contained by the Bruins. Where do you stand on that?
I think it's a positive for the time being. I think that, it's got to stay true, you know, because if these guys start scoring, now you're really screwed. Now the series is over, in my opinion. So, you know, I think they've done a great job against these guys though, all season. And you go back, like, the last three seasons, really, they've kind of kept them in check. Stamkos used to be like a point per game guy against the Bruins, and he's had a really quiet past three seasons or so. So I like what they're doing there. It's just, you know, if this series shifts back to Tampa and they're up 3-1, and you put Grzelcyk and McQuaid out there, and then I see Stamkos, Kucherov come over the boards, I'm like, ugh, I don't really like this look at all. So one of those things where you take it while you can, but you got to make good on it, right? And that's where I come back to that second line with DeBrusk, Krejci, and Rick Nash. Nash is generating chances. That's great. He needs to bury some of them. You know, and same thing, Krejci. I thought he was better last night, but you need this night in and night out from him. These guys, they make a combined like 15 mil. You know, and DeBrusk has been the best guy on that line. He's been carrying them pretty much all postseason.
Right. And by the way, go back and read Hockey News from the beginning of the season. That they have DeBrusk as their ninth best prospect. Mike, go ahead. for the Bruins.
Thanks for having me on. First off, number one, Rask stinks. If you're a defenseman and your goalie lets up soft goals, what you're going to do is you're going to play off the charts, not knowing what the hell to do, when to make a move, and that's what's happening with the Bruins' defense. They don't know whether to piss or get off the pot, and it's because Rask flat out stinks.
Mike, real quick, let me ask you, do you think any of the goals last night were soft goals for Tuukka?
I think one of the goals, he left half the net wide open. He didn't even know where the puck was. He was floundering around. He looks like a fish out there after the show.
He was their best player last night, and there's no question about it. He was their best player last night. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean,
after the two goals, he was their best player. I agree with you. But you at some point, you actually have to make stops that you shouldn't before you get down by two goals. Okay?
Well, I mean, Grizzlick left. Grizzlick.
No chance on that.
No chance. And then there was. DeBrusque had to take a face off, and that wasn't Rask's fault.
This whole argument has hit like absurd levels at this point. Like, we look at every single goal a goaltender gives up now, and we're like, well, is that his fault or is that someone else's fault? You know, Matt Grizzlick plays a pop-up, like a grounder last night for some reason. Tries using his hands instead of his stick. I don't know why he would do that.
Mm-hmm. And then he gives up on it. And then he just... It's not even that he misplayed it. Then he just decides, well, I'm going to back off and not do anything.
And it's one of these things where we're like, well, that's Tuukka's fault. How? How is that Tuukka's fault? Mm-hmm. We're going to sit here and we're gonna reinvent ways to blame the goaltender because that's convenient. When, you know, whenever the Bruins win, it's never on the back of Tuukka Rask. It's like, oh, well, team played well. When they lose, it's all Tuukka. It's like, you can't have it this way. This can't be how this always goes. It's just, it's annoying, and especially in this series, because he has been probably the only bright spot so far through 180 minutes. He is the only guy I can go, yeah, I'm pretty convinced with his play so far.
Which is why I'm not completely down on this series. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Relatively new listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
I got to disagree with that last guy and pretty much everyone who's hounded on Tuukka. He's been standing on his head. Yeah, it's the lack of puck control and shots. You guys touched on it earlier. You can't go 15 minutes into a game before you take your shot and expect to win a game. Tuukka's given up some goals, but they're not really his fault. People are focusing on the fact that, okay, yeah, the opposing team scored 3-4 goals. That doesn't mean Tuukka's given them all up. Your team has to actually be aggressive. You have to try to score, take a shot, and handle the damn puck. Don't lose it all every time you... They're tip-tapping. How many one-timers do they have in these last two games?
And how many times have they whiffed, and how many times have they sustained any kind of any kind of cycle in the Tampa Bay zone? I mean, they did at the beginning of the second,
I mean, this is kind of funny. I mean, the calls we're getting on this.
Evan, go ahead.
Evan.
I'm really straining the line here right now. I don't get it. Is anyone actually watching the hockey game? Watch the Nashville-Winnipeg series. Watch Pittsburgh and Washington. I mean, Tuukka's been the best goalie in the quarterfinals so far. I don't understand it. What team are people watching? This is not a Tuukka problem.
Because it's an easy take.
All right,
it's an easy take to blame Tuukka.
That call had nothing to do with what Bird said.
Yeah, the call said, "I miss Tim Thomas. Tuukka sucks." And then we put it on, and the guy's like, "Tuukka's great." Like, all right, okay.
You know,
it's like right. Exact
whatever.
Opposite.
All right, 617-779-0985. 617-779-0985. Ty Anderson's in studio. We're talking. That happens so many times. But then again,
welcome to our world, Ty.
Again, yeah. Who am I to say anything negative about anyone?
Did he call you this morning?
No, he doesn't call me.
Oh, I thought that was just a one shot.
No,
deal.
It's over. It's over with. That is over with.
Yeah, that's done.
No, okay. Yeah, it's above.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, that's never going to happen again.
All right,
it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was beneath him. As is putting in the correct statements that the callers would have made.
He had it completely backwards?
Like it said, "I miss Tim Thomas. Get Tuukka rid of Tuukka."
Sucks.
Yeah, Tuukka sucks. And the guy goes, "Man, Tuukka's the best
goaltender in the league in the playoffs."
Okay. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
It's a bit of a head scratcher once in a while, to be honest with you, but something that I need to bear down and maybe, you know, I've been asking a lot of questions. I don't seem to get the answers, so it's up to me to adjust and to be better.
Oh, it's funny how inconsistent they are. Yeah, his slashing penalty is the same thing that I had on a breakaway last game, was 3-2, so a little consistent view, a little nice.
Rock and roll!
What is this? Coheed and Cambria?
Whatever it is, it's rock and roll. It's someone just saying
it's a massive shredding. the officiating, Ty, has obviously been an issue, and I read an article, I think it was the one that you wrote after game two, about how it's okay to bitch about the officiating. I mean, even though we realize that's not the reason they lost game two, as you said, 15 minutes to even take a shot on net, but it's something that you should be concerned about. Do you think that the complaining and the public comments that Patrice Bergeron finally made yesterday about being kicked out of the faceoff circle is going to affect the way that they're going to be a little more lenient on him? Now that it's been brought up and there's a spotlight on him, it's going to be less of an issue from here on out.
I mean, you'd almost say it has to play out like that, right? I mean, it's one of these things where he's been tossed from, now the number's up to 26 faceoffs this postseason, where he's been kicked out of the dot or whatever. I mean, it's actually affecting them now. You look at that 5-on-3, got kicked out of two of the faceoffs, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look last night, he has a clean night. It's like, oh wow, what a coincidence that he says something and it finally stops. That's great, huh? What a well-run league we have here. it's a real thing where these guys, you know, I think the worst part about that is Bergeron, if he's telling the truth, he hasn't been given a reason why.
And that sucks. I mean, it's not, this guy is obviously somebody who's been a great representative for the league. He's somebody who's, you know, one of the best, you know, the most well-respected guys, and you can't give him an answer? At least tell him what he's doing wrong. And so for them not to do that, I do like the fact that I was watching last night. I was thinking, I wonder if that's going to change everything. And it seemed to. I only remember getting kicked out of one. Did he get kicked out of more than one last night?
I don't think he got kicked out of any.
No, he got kicked out of one.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't notice it enough to, you know, usually I go back in these things and I'm like, okay, this happened here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But last night I didn't notice that at all. The only one I noticed was what Fred brought up was the Krejci one.
Yeah, which was awful.
Led to a goal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was, again, not Tuca's fault. Ryan, go ahead.
I wanted to talk to about Zdeno Chara again. He's just too old and too slow now, and it's affecting. He's good on shorthanded because he doesn't have to move. He can be a stationary pylon in front of the net and wave his 17-foot stick around and take up a lot of area. The faceoffs are a big issue for the Bruins because it just affects the flow of the game. And there's something to say about Tuukka Rask in regards to timely big saves. If he makes that save in the first period last night, it would have been a huge save. I think it changes.
What save, though?
I'm talking about the first one right off the bat. I think Tampa Bay was 1-for-1, and I'm not saying it was his fault. It was definitely a defensive breakdown. But Tuukka seems to make his big saves when they're down 3-to-4-to-1. He makes this miraculous save to keep them down 3-to-4-to-4-to-1. There's something about keeping your defense in the game in regards to making that big save. Now, I don't think it was Tuukka's fault at all, especially in this whole series. There's sometimes there's a mental lapse where he just can't make a big save.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But last night, I mean, you know, you can score a goal in the National Hockey League.
They allow it.
They do. And if you're given carte blanche to do whatever you want with the puck with no resistance, you know, these guys are professional hockey players. You know, it would be a weird sport if no pucks went into the net. I mean, if you're given a situation where the defenseman, by the way, when they're talking about Chara, it was interesting to see that Sweeney put McAvoy and Krug on the same pairing to try to generate some kind of offense. But when when there's open ice in front of the net and someone is allowed to get in there, very difficult for a goaltender to make a save in that situation.
Is he still suffering by comparison? 7 years now. Since Tim Thomas? I'm trying to search for explanations because no matter how many big saves
he makes,
he always is criticized. Right. So I got to believe this is still seven years ago.
It's the money. It's the money and the idea that he's not Patrick Roy. You know, it's the idea that, you know, he hasn't had a Hasek, you know, thing where he's kicking up his legs. But last night was close. I mean, last night that game could have gotten incredibly out of hand, but instead it was a snooze fest.
The whole Tim Thomas thing, every year goes by and the legend like grows.
Right.
It was, oh, he had a great run. Now he's like, he let up no goals the entire Stanley Cup final. Like, well, that's not true.
More to his point, Tim Thomas let up 5 goals in 4 different games in the Eastern Conference Finals that year. I mean, the Bruins won one of those games 6-5, but a lot of people just remember that game 7, which was 1-0, one of the better games that the Bruins have played in the last decade. But Thomas gave up 5 goals in 4 different games in that 7-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, people remember the Blackhawks game. That's like with Tuukka Rask, everyone goes back to that. And like, you know, I've seen breakdowns about whether it was his fault or not. It doesn't matter. People immediately look, 2 goals that quick, bang, bang, end of the series, no more Stanley Cup.
One of
and
them
immediately
was,
the blame goes on Tuukka Rask. It's just, it's been that way, and they, people can't get that out of their heads.
One of those was off the boards and just
oh yeah we, this has been discussed
situation.
Over and over, but it doesn't mean that that's changed people's opinions, and he'll be the guy that takes the blame. I don't get it, but I mean every morning
he deserves the blame a lot. He just doesn't deserve the blame in this playoffs. I mean, he's the reason they probably won that Toronto series, because he literally won a game for them in that series. Ron, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey,
super frustrated with all this crap, but listen, you can ask anyone that knows me. I am far from a Tuukka apologist. I'm probably one of his harshest critics. But he has definitely not been the problem in the series. He's finally standing on his head. I've been so many times, I'm like, dude, can't you just like throw your body out to make a save? Because he does give up some soft ones, but it's definitely not his fault. We're getting no sustained pressure in the offensive zone. No. The defenses look like crap. Mm. And these turnovers, like the other night when Marchand could have went up the boards instead of to the middle of the ice and got intercepted and they got the breakaway. I mean, and last night, a cross-ice pass was intercepted. It's just like, I don't know. It looks like they're mentally just not in it right now. And, you know, I'd hate for this season to end on a note like this, but they really got to get their crap together. And I definitely don't blame Tuukka for this 2-1 deficit.
And I agree with you. They're having a terrible time getting out of Tampa's zone, and they had sort of the same problem against Toronto, and then every time that happens, it seems they pay a price for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things
they
where...
They can't clear.
Tampa has found something. In the video scouting that they did pre-series or maybe after game one even, they have found something that has really limited the Bruins and what they're able to do. And it's on Cassie now to figure out how to adjust to this, right? And this is sort of what you need to see out of him at some point. Last year with the Ottawa series, they really couldn't make the adjustments. Granted, they were beat to hell with injuries, but I know. But and then first round, you had the stretch pass. You know, that was sort of the legend of the stretch pass. It was mm-hmm. just destroying them. So now the Bruins have to return the favor here. Go to the film, see what's happening, see if they can figure it out. You know, last night, you want to talk about Tampa Bay's aggressiveness, you know, their aggressiveness on the forecheck. You see Bergeron passing it off to Tuukka on an attempted breakout. It's like that just speaks to how damaging sort of, you know, what Tampa has been able to do, how it's really damaged the Bruins so far.
Mm-hmm. So you believe Donato for game 4?
Yes. Okay. I Donato game 4, but I put him with DeBrusk and Krejci on line 2. I move Rick Nash down with Riley Nash and David Backes.
Maybe
you got to get a better balance here. Yeah. You got to get a better balance. And listen, if you want to keep Heinonen, put him on line 4 and take out Achari or Wingles or one of these guys at this point, because they're not giving you much either.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cassie has been afraid to put the Lions in a blender. I think you look at these last 3 games and you say, okay, it's time to put that blender back to use.
Well, it's funny, Heinen with a solid 8:55 on ice time.
Yeah, he's sitting down. They reduced his ice time for a reason.
Yeah.
I said it last hour. We saw it in the last series. In game 5, Heinen's ice time was significantly reduced. He sat in game 6. I think this is kind of a one leads to the next.
All right, we'll be back with a final break with Ty Anderson. We'll continue to take your phone calls, and we'll all enjoy Friday. If they win, everything's fine. Everyone relax.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, they're opportunistic, so they were able to capitalize on those chances. Something that we need to do more of. We're getting chances. They have a, you know, really good goalie, but so do we. So you really got to bear down and make the most of those opportunities, and we got to keep getting pucks to the net, and we're going to have to assess this one and, you know, see what we did wrong and see how we're going to get this, get a hold of this rope and pull it back to our side.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. Tomorrow morning at 7:50, you have a chance to score a pair of tickets to Friday night's Game 4 between the Bruins and Lightning at TD Garden in the second round of the NHL playoffs. I might be attending that game with one Matty Siegel.
Look at you.
One Matty Siegel.
Wow.
He wants to go crazy on social media with it.
Is he paying for the tickets?
Yeah, oh yeah. Matty can't get... dude, then I did this, and now Vox Pro's gone.
Here, just use my thing. Use this.
Okay.
Because you're going to need Vox Pro for the next break. Ty Anderson in studio. He's with us for talking Bruins. It's one, by the way, last night's the worst kind of game, because it's one thing to lose, and it's another thing for it just to be boring. And you just sit there. I mean, for you to be... And the Bruins, it seems like for the longest time, like you're watching them, you're like, they never seem out of it. Last night, they just seemed out of it. Like, you didn't have any hope that they were going to come back the way that they were playing. Listless, lifeless. They couldn't get out of their own zone. It was... To me, I thought it was the most depressing of the losses, because it's made me start to think that maybe Tampa Bay is just that good.
Yeah, I mean, this was sort of reminded me of, this is years ago now, but that 2009, their second round, they had game two, I think it was against Carolina. And it was one of the worst games in the world. You're sitting there like, can this end? Like, this is not fun. And yeah, it makes you think twice about Tampa Bay now. You know, I thought this was a matchup that favored the Bruins, to be honest. And in a way, I still do, but it's they got to show up. They can't keep putting themselves down two goals against this team. These are not the Maple Leafs. You know, this is one of the league's best teams. You have to show up on time. You have to sort of figure out how you can get in through their defense. They have a big defense. I mean, we can't undersell that, I know. But, you know, we've seen this team. They've picked apart some of the best defenses in hockey all year, including this same Tampa defense earlier in the year. So there's no excuse at this point. You got to find a way to get through this and get going, because... Listen, if you go down 3-1, you're not winning three
you're
games
not
in
winning,
a row.
You're not winning three games in a row. Friday night is a game 7. You get your alcohol out, or whatever is can sedate you enough to get through the game. And then if they win that game 4, you got to like them in this series. And I agree with Ty. I think that the Bruins should win this series. And I don't like the... I was talking to Haggerty last night, and I don't like the idea that... You know that? Oh well, it's okay if they lose in 6. I don't think so. I mean, you played that season. You had an opportunity, an easy opportunity to get home ice, and fair enough, you were tired and there was a grind. The one thing that concerns, one thing that came to my head last night that concerned me was that Tampa, you know, came out rusty in game 1, and maybe now that rest is helping them a little bit. But hopefully that evens out. And hopefully, you know, with the minutes McDonough had to play last night, and that you know, they kind of can wear this team down. I wish they would be more physical. There's a bunch of things I wish. I wish that they, you know, at least when you're down, you do some physical damage to people, and you kind of, like, work them around that way. But that hasn't happened either. Now, who do you like, Ty? Who do you like in game 4?
You know, I shows you what I know. I picked the Bruins in game 3, but I got to go back to the Bruins game 4. It's a Friday night at the Garden. The crowd's going to be into it. They know the desperation that's, you know, that they need to play with here, I think. And you're going to see a lineup change. You are going to see Donato in there, I think. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Nick Holden on the back end as well. Maybe they do that.
Instead of Grizzly?
It didn't sound like Cassie was ready to say as much. He tried to write off what happened last night. But you look at their ice time. Didn't give him a lot in the second or the third period, for that matter. You can't play with 4 defensemen this time of year. You need somebody that you can put out there. And is holding that guy? I don't know, but they got to change something here. Something needs to be adjusted. You know, needs to be adjusted. And maybe Holden looks at these 3 games in the press box and says, "Okay, this is where, you know, the breakout needs to be improved." And, you know, he can apply that on the ice. You don't know, but you got today's practice, and then you got a morning skate tomorrow to figure these things out. But yeah, they got to do something. I mean, I'll stick with them, and I'll say they got to win game 4, because I think this series is going 6 or 7. And, you know, if that does happen, they have to win tomorrow night. This chair is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like the bad time one.
Does anyone sit in that chair?
Yeah, occasionally.
Maz.
It's like roulette. You know, you're never quite sure which one it is. And then
No. Maz's chair is here. I think that's just the open chair.
Yeah, this is an open chair. Maz is over next to Rich.
Yeah. I'm in Felger's chair. Maz is right there.